Everybody, I welcome everybody to the July council meeting. First of all, knowledge country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which meeting is held and pays its respect to elders both past and present. Extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Will you please turn off all mobile phones if you have any, please?
And councillors, just a reminder that these meetings are recorded and will be placed onto the web some stage after the meeting, so please be careful with comments.
I call for apologies and leave of absence.
Full house, Mr Mayor, all councillors present.
Confirmation of minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of June 2020.
Move.
Chair is Councillor Shinton. Second to Councillor Hill. Comments on these items? Motion, those for four. Those against, carried.
Unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Unanimous. Disclosure of interest, pecuniary and non-pecuniary. Here a minute. Number one. Got a mover? Councillor Berlin, Councillor Hill. Any comments on this item? And there's my fuel there says 100 kilometres, not that far to Barrabeen and back from my place. Don't know how it comes to be in there like that. Either my bad riding. More comments on this item?
What have we?
Councillor Lewis?
We're on to item two, we're still on item one.
Item one?
No more comments, no.
I'll put the recommendation, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item two, mural minute, payment of rural producers and staff during drought. This comes from the Warren Shire Council. Can I move her? Nancy, seconder. Councillor Hill. Discussion this item. Councillor Lewis.
I support the concept of the minute, the mayoral minute, but from what I've seen, nearly every primary producer I know has put staff off. We should be looking at the government helping to restore employment in the bush, because to pay farmers' staff at the moment, most of them have got an overdraft that big they can't afford staff from buying stock and lasting to a horrendous drought. So what are we actually giving money for? The farmers' workers are not there.
I reckon this should happen 3 years ago, not now.
We need workers back in the bush, and the schools and the small businesses and everyone are suffering because of that. You can't give support to something that doesn't exist, because there's very few jobs left in the bush.
I'd just make a comment, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. The thrust of it is fine as far as I'm concerned, but looking at the way farms are structured, I don't pay myself a wage, for instance. I never know. Yeah, I know when income's about to come in, but as such, I don't pay a wage, so I don't understand how the JobKeeper could work. And if you're a partnership, only one partner gets it. This was constructed. The JobKeeper and JobSeeker were constructed for people on wages, and businesses that have been forced to close down in the drought, none of us really closed down. We soldiered on. You know, like a lot of us lost more money than we made, I would imagine. But it's a difficult. The government would have come up with something. It's a great idea, but I don't know how it works in the country.
It happened 3 years ago, not now.
Yeah, but how's it going to work? You know, like it's not a. We can't do JobKeeper because. You might if you employ somebody, but as far as the farm goes itself, if you're a partnership, like I said, only one can get it. If you're a sole trader, I don't know how that's going to work because that was a difficult thing for sole traders, even with the JobKeeper and JobSeeker arrangements. But the thing was, none of us were forced to close down, and that's why it's a unique. Situation, I think, what the government's done during the COVID-19 crisis. But I think we should always be thinking about how on earth you can pay farmers, because unless you get household support from the government, you don't get anything else, as far as I can see.
I support exactly what Councillor Lewis and Councillor Shinton have brought up. But on top of that, one issue with JobKeeper currently is they don't even have to turn up to work if work is available. And that's becoming an issue with quite a few employers, with all these people ringing in claiming they're sick, and they're not. They're off working somewhere else. I just think there needs to be greater guidelines. Maybe the government should be thoroughly looking at the household support, farm household support, with something in that for staff as well, as opposed to a payment. Unless you can guarantee staff are turning up to earn what they're being paid for, I don't support them getting nothing during a drought when most of us work harder than ever.
Well, any more recommendations?
I'd like to alter the recommendation that we supported in principle, but that should be reworded. Like, my employer 4 years, don't want no charity, but my employer I had for 4 years left 14 months ago, and I can't afford to put staff back on, and there's a lot of people in exactly the same boat as me. I've got one child on the Neil Rex Dibinaway school bus. I used to have 16 before the start of the drought, things like that. The rural economy needs a boost, and just to support one shire out along the river where there's all irrigation and there's crops every year, regardless, they might have missed once through the drought. I think you should look at the bigger picture, not just at where you've got these multinational cotton farms and one thing and another. We need to put money back in the bush and get our own backyard happening.
Comment?
And through you, Mr. Mayor, once again, through the drought, our local businesses for the first couple of years had no support either. It was only towards the end of the drought when the realisation we actually had one dawned on urban Australia, and all our communities have lost businesses as a result. Because as Councillor Lewis pointed out, he's down 15 kids. They all came from families that have moved. That has that flow-on effect through all our shops, our schools. They reacted too late to stop the massive drift in this particular drought.
That's what I believe it should have been done 3 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd put it to the mayor that he has a yarn to the bloke from Warren and sort of work out, you know, the same notice of motion, but put a bit of a different angle on it, that we can get the farmers can get a subsidy to re-employ people and get people back in the manager's cottage and back on the school buses and so on and so forth in all shires, in our LAC, local government area, I should say, LGA.
You want to put that up as an amendment?
Your pardon?
You want to make that amendment?
I can make that amendment, but I just think there needs to be a lot more thought put into it before we vote on it.
Councillor Lewis, I got a seconder.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can we just clarify what Councillor Lewis's motion is, please?
The Mayor consult with the mayor of Warren, and they changed that notice of motion around to that farmers get a subsidy or some support to re-employ people that they had working prior to that, I don't know what you call the name of the drought, to get people working back on the farms and people back supporting local businesses in small town. Just to give the people that have still got a job a subsidy doesn't ring real true to me, because they must be working with some pretty powerful companies to maintain their employment through that drought.
A seconder? Fancy. I'll put the amendment. Who's in favour? Councillor Nuzzi. Okay. Carried unanimously. I'll put the amendment. It is a motion. Those in favour, say aye. Carried unanimously. Item 3, Councillor's monthly travel claims. A mover, Councillor Cable. Seconder, Councillor Shinton. Any comments on this article? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 5, minutes of the Robertson Noble Advisory Committee meeting on the... Item 4, delegates report of Central Western Arana Renewable Energy Zone round table. I'll move that one. Seconder, Councillor Shinton. Any comments on this article?
Just a question.
Councillor Cope.
What exactly is the funding that's on the table for? How are they going to use that? It's at 3.8 billion or something?
The report was 31.6 million.
Yeah, what's that going to?
To me, it was basically setting up a strategy for the development or encouragement of renewable energy in the area, as I understood it. But councillors might disagree with me on that.
Very expensive strategy.
Well, some of the strategy is going to involve... We don't have the power lines in the areas where the best places to have solar and wind energy are, as you know.
Currently, they have to build and give to Ausgrid.
Well, it's not happening. I think at the present moment, most of those wind turbines are just turning in the wind. That's all they're doing. I think there's 20 big ones now that are built that are just spinning in the wind.
Did Department of Planning...
You tell me how that happens.
...passing, because that's a big component of the other ones I'm aware of. That's the first part of the project, so they can deliver power into the grid.
Well, it's the same as the Pilliga. I mean, if it gets approved, it's going to sit there for a while because there's no pipeline approved yet. So it's just the way they seem to work their systems. But that's a good concept. There's nothing wrong with the concept. But, time will tell just how fantastic it's going to be to attract all this industry to the cheap power that's going to be there. But it was a good meeting.
Sorry, Councillor. The emphasis here was it was 3,000 additional megawatts, not including those generators that have already been approved.
Councillor Lewis.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just make the comment, and I can't find it in here, but you climb any mountain in Australia and have a look around, and a hell of a lot of Australia is still scrubbed. There's not much of it cleared. It's all valleys and long rivers and so on and so forth, and you'll find that the electricity lines run through that cleared country Has anyone put any thought or any discussion into these solar farms going into useless scrub that doesn't do nothing for our economy and leaving good cultivation country alone? That was the biggest objection to the one at Dunedoo, if I remember, at the second last Dunedoo meeting. Warren Ogden stood up and had a big spit about it. And I totally agree with him. Why put them in good cultivation country when there's acres and millions of acres of country that's not profitable? Or are we too scared of upsetting the Greens?
That comes up at all the meetings about that too lately, I've been to.
I think that little bit of common sense should go into it at the foundation stage, not trying to cure it after it's done.
Not advocating one way or another on this one, Councillor, but the response to that was that they need to site these things close to the energy lines that are in place.
Close to the power lines. The power lines are on the cultivation country.
Yeah.
My case rests.
Otherwise, it just becomes uneconomic for them to do it.
Yeah, that's why we're importing $4 billion worth of pork into Australia every year, because we've got solar farms where the pig farms should be.
Well, any more questions on this item? The motion, those in favour? Councillor Lewis?
No, I'll go against that unless that's written in, just for the record.
All four. Councillor Lucci. Councillor Lewis against. Item number 5, minutes of the Robertson Oval Advisory Committee meeting held on the 17th of June. Can I move it, Councillor Capel? Seconder, Councillor Hill. Any comment on this item?
I've had a few people contact me from down Dunedoo end of the world about this. They're wanting a second set of change rooms built into the concert. The one I can't understand, some discussions that I've had, they said at their last meeting apparently that they're going to do away with their gymnasium area and use that space for a second set of change rooms to be incorporated into the plans. What I can't get my head around is they still want an extra $300,000 for the change rooms when they're going to be built under the same footprint. You're not building any bigger of a project. How much money do you save out of the initial project if you don't build the gymnasium, send them up the hall, which sits there like a big pink elephant and never get used, and it's already got all the facilities and stuff in it for a gymnasium? But to want another $300,000 for change rooms to build them under an existing footprint just seems a bit over and above to me. And I would like to see it proceed, but I think some questions need to be asked, and someone that knows a bit about building and planning and running a site gets onto this and make it happen properly.
Abel?
To answer Councillor Lewis's question, the current plans that went on public display with only the two sets of change room and the gym, the building would actually have to be approximately lengthened by 2 metres to put a second set of change rooms into the space where the gym is in the design, to make them compliant with all the various planning codes. So the building would have to lengthen a fraction, and then, as you're aware, a gym's a cheap fit out as opposed to bathrooms. So there's also the difference just on that per square metre. It's more than double for that footprint of the gym converting across to two change rooms, but it should not, hopefully, be the $300,000.
Mr. Mayor, I just don't want to see what happened. It's happened in several projects over the life of the Warrumbungle Shire Council, where these things just get totally out of hand through mismanagement, and the mismanagement is caused 100% by ignorance on the people doing it, not ignorant in as much as don't know their social manners, but they just haven't got, excuse me for burning rough, they haven't got a bloody clue what they're doing. If council is going to oversee this project or put any input into it, I'd strongly suggest that a project manager, even at this early stage, is appointed forthwith to make it happen, and make it happen properly, and make it happen under budget.
Can I just make a comment, Mr. Mayor? I'm reading that last paragraph on page 14 there, and it says, in response to variation options recommended by the committee, the cost of the project will increase by around $80,000 if the multi-purpose gym room is removed and replaced with another set of change rooms. That's it. So $80,000 was the increase. That's the way I read the English. And then the next sentence says, the cost of the project will increase by an estimated $330,000 if another set of change rooms is added to the building. So what are we... Aren't we just taking the gym out?
And, yes.
Well, that's $80,000, it says there.
Yes.
Yes.
Possibly.
So how'd the $330,000 come in?
I don't know. You keep the gym there.
Oh, right, and add the thing on the outside.
Yeah, there's three options on the table. One, keep the current plans that have been on public display that generated all the comments about the lack of a second change room. Or the original set of plans, which had the two change rooms and the gymnasium. Or take out the gym, slightly lengthen the building by the couple of metres, and put the second change room in where the gym is in the current design.
Two change rooms.
Because the design that's just come off public display, the footprint of the gym is approximately 2 metres not wide enough to be compliant if you whack a second set of change
rooms
in there.
That's only an $80,000 increase. Yeah. Okay.
They're hoping.
Yep.
That's coming from the designer's estimations. Next is going out for the actual... I think they're called design drawings. So far it's only been the concept drawings.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Well, I think the recommendation's fine as far as it goes, because it addresses all the concerns that people might have about cost, and all the recommendation is talking about is substituting that paving project in Dunedoo and adding the extra $10,000 to the cost of the design drawings so that we can have a look at detailed design and detailed costing of the options. So that's what we're asked to talk about tonight, not what will come in the future when we get the costings back.
They're the designs that will go out for tender.
So
the costings at the moment are being done by the drawers, really. I'm not going to name the company, but I'm pretty sure you all know who it is. So they're, I suppose, want a better word, guesstimates, or pretty good guesstimates, but until it goes to tender for actual builders to tender, you really...
That's right.
Yeah.
So what we're being asked to do tonight is approve that substitution of the project for the footpath, to spend an extra $10,000 for detailed designs, and then we can argue in the future about that's $80,000 or how much it is, and that'll be a job for next time.
We take number three out, do we?
No. I'm just saying that's what we're asked to do tonight. It's not really getting down to tin tacks about two change rooms or four tonight. It's let's find out how much that's going to cost by substituting the footpath job for extra detail plans, and I'll be supporting that. I think it's the obvious next thing to do, isn't it?
It allows us to have the two sets of plans to go to tender, and we might get a pleasant surprise, or we might get a horror show.
Right.
We don't know until the tenders are done.
Surely if we made the decision tonight that the gym goes and the extra two go in there, job's done, we only need one set of drawings. No, they want the gym too.
Yes, and if it comes in through tender way over what the grant is providing, then we'd have to go back out again with the other lot. So if we could do both lots of documents in the one tender, then we're not delaying the project. We can just choose what's within the budgeted amount, okay, if that makes sense.
Yep. My comments on this item? I'll put the item up. Who's for the item?
All positive.
Continuity. Carried unanimously.
Okay.
Item number 6, minutes of the Coonabarman Sporting Complex Advisory Committee. Councillor Brady, mover. Seconder, Councillor Shenton. Any comments on this item?
Just one. Has a master plan been done with all the user groups so everyone understands everyone else's...
It's happening,
because what I'm reading, we're making decisions that might come back and bite if there isn't a master plan that all the users are happy with.
So one of the main issues here is the $127,000 from the Drought Communities Fund. At our Sporting Advisory Committee meeting, there were 6 in attendance and 6 people voted against that. That comes back to a council staff member putting in, you know, for this Drought Communities Fund without community consultation, and that it's been bumped up the list without the Sporting Advisory Committee even knowing sort of about this. And, you know, Shane Weatherall said, you know, well, you know, it's been endorsed by council, really, like this thing. And I said, well, what's the point of having a Sporting Advisory Committee when everyone is against this concept? It's inhabiting what our plans are, and yeah, they're not all on paper yet, but there's been conversation sort of thing, and then someone just throws in a grant application and then it throws us all out of whack. So everyone in the room was against this.
Are there any existing play equipment down there?
No.
I can't recall any.
No, so there's not.
There's not.
You know, and there was concerns because it's community garden. Who's going to look after the community garden? You know, we've got enough gardens here in Coonabarabran that, you know, aren't upkept to the best they should be. What else have I wrote down? The basketball courts. It was only 2 years ago we spent $500,000 or whatever on 5 new basketball courts. We don't need any more. That's, you know, look, that was other concerns, gardens. No community consultation. Like, I've been working with council for 3 months on splashing a bit of paint around the skate park, and, you know, council's coming back to me saying, you know, it has to go to community consultation, the expression of interest and all that, but here's a $127,000 grant with these concept plans and no one's had say on it.
Sorry, councillor, this was actually a resolution of council.
And I did just say that. I said it was one of the things on our drought communities thing that got bumped up when the drought broke and we had all the water. So the first 15 items got funded and the $100,000 for water, you know, we didn't need it anymore. So this got bumped up into...
Yes, from a list that was prioritised by council.
Without community consultation?
No, it was through a council process. The council itself prioritised it. The staff didn't bump it up the list.
No.
The council prioritised this. And when it prioritised the list, we said, if any of these aren't successful, then we would draw from the priority order below. And the priority order was this particular project, and then followed by the Cool Land Shared Pathway, the Bowen Oval Storage Shed, and so on.
And I understand that, but I also, where my frustration is where is the community consultation for this, when, especially when we've got a Sporting Advisory Committee, this is in the sporting precinct, and not one person on that committee wants this because it's going to inhabit future plans. And where is the community consultation for this?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think, well, I can speak for myself. I assume this had gone through the advisory committee.
Everyone was adamant against it.
What do you think should be done, Councillor Brady?
I don't like throwing money away or anything, but the Sporting Advisory Committee, that I think the recommendation or the comment made that was taken in the minutes, and I don't think it's actually down, was basically to go back and say, you know, is there any other suitable place that this can take place. Like, I know as a community member for 30 years there's been one or two people in the town that's wanted a community garden. They can't get it off the ground because there's not interest there. But then, you know, someone thinks, oh, idea, and then they want to put it in our main hub, sporting hub, when who's going to look after it?
Is there any other similar project this could be added to complete a stage project? We had that disability...
The stop and play park. So, I can't see why it can't be a part of the development of that park, because originally, like, some of the ideas of that development of that was like a native garden, or, you know, like a bush tucker garden, or, you know, things like that. I think it'd be a great add-on. Originally, the concept plan of that stop and play park, I probably added up to $1 million, and they've only gone small to fit in with the 270,000. I can't see why it can't be added to that. It's only across the river.
April.
Is there a time limit we have to notify for a change of funds to use?
Not so much the change of funds, it's more the expenditure.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ty or Mr. Parker may have to help me here, but was this one that had to be completed by about June next year, gentlemen?
Jim Parker here. 31st of March next year.
Thanks, Kim.
A fair one could be pools across the shire.
As we point out there, Councillor, we've got a current application in for that work, and it's looking like that application is probably going to be successful.
That's good.
In fact, it's going to be higher than that.
Is there any way that, like, we still sort of have the same concept but just different location? Nelson's Park, the top end, or, you know, to get more equipment, or, you know, expand gardens there. Or, you know, we don't actually have water infrastructure down at around the skate park and that, but we've got it in the park. Like, another, like, you know, the concept plans that were presented at the meeting for this project, you know, it's right there near the skate park. Well, our skate park was good 25 years ago, but it needs an upgrade, and, you know, we don't want to have a garden there that then we can't upgrade a skate park because there's a garden there, or, you know, that's...
I see two likely candidates for this. One is we continue down the list, which council prioritised at the time. But again, as we point out there in that prioritised list, we are expecting that several of those projects are going to be funded. Though the Bowen Oval storage shed is not one, but that has strong community support within areas of Cooler that I'm aware of, and it could be one which goes higher than that $40,000. It could go on to the cycleway at Cooler, or we did actually submit some funding for the ovals. And Mr. Ty, you'll have to help me with this, but I think there was an electronic scoreboard proposal and a seating proposal that was submitted for funding for Coonabarabran. Number one oval, was it?
Yes, there was three, Mr. Mayor. There's a been on the list waiting funding. Is that an electronic scoreboard to replace the situation that exists at the number two oval building where kids climb a ladder and put the score up on the wall? So that there's a project, and previously council's been asked to consider installation of seating, you know, that outdoor seating around oval, particularly number three oval. So that these seatings, it's three or four tiers high on a concrete slab. around about $15,000 each, I think, from memory. Mayor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, last night at Robinson Oval, it was identified the two light towers that are actually within the oval fence line. It would be handy if they could be moved outside the fence line. You know the two I'm speaking about on the eastern side of the main oval?
Yes, I know all about them. Yeah. How come they're there in the first place?
I'd say it goes back to many moons ago when they were put there, and maybe it was the restriction of the technology at the time, lighting-wise. But, yeah, they're an eyesore, but they're also probably a bit dangerous in the sense you've got to run around them, and if somebody runs off the oval in a hurry, they might whack themselves into one. They don't have a... Do you remember the two,
GM? I remember the lights, but I don't remember exactly how they were positioned.
And one's on a single pole, and the other one's actually on a four-legged triangular situation.
Mr. Tai, would you have any thoughts on that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm thinking the cost of lights. It's possible that... two new light towers could be installed at Robertson Oval or the 127,000, but it's without a quote and without looking at the project. It's very difficult to say if two light towers, new light towers, could be built. Certainly there has been a master plan developed for Robertson Oval in the past, and comments being that those existing light towers, there's no need to change them, that the lighting on Robertson Oval is terrific. They're some of the comments that have been made in the past. So that when the Robertson Oval master plan was developed, there wasn't a need to relocate those poles. And given that there are the last set of oval lighting that was constructed, Binaway and Barradine, that was funded from club grants, Council might be better advised to revisit the Robertson Oval lighting, and in terms of project scope and project cost, and apply for the next round of club grants.
Councillors, I would be concerned at this point in time and going out and picking another completely new project. We really have a lot of projects running at the moment, and I really think that we should be targeting a project which we have known estimates for, a known project support, etc.
Councillor Brady.
Saying that everyone was against the concept and that is totally true, but saying, like, I don't want to see, you know, I think all the other communities have done pretty well out of this funding. So I'd hate to see $127,000 leave Coonabarabran and go down to a light tower or elsewhere, you know, because it's not this community benefiting from it. It's the concept, like, you know, of more play equipment and all that. It is a need in town, just not where we're told by this grant. Like, you know, there was a comment, well, you know, is there any way that we can have some play equipment at number one oval and some at number three oval or something, so then when there's other things on, or stop and play park. It's under the same sort of circumstances, it's just different location. It's another 150 metres across the river. So it's the same outcome, the same goal, the same community in that, it's just different location.
Mr. General Manager, what was the cost of the seating there? You took that out.
That was a part of another grant application that was submitted recently. I don't recall off the top of my head. Mr. Tai, I think, indicated $15,000 for each item of seating. So that was two lots of seating plus the scoreboard.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Councillor Brady. Well, there's some wriggle room, I think, in the recommendations that we've been given there. It says just before the recommendations, it has... Council has the option of not accepting item D, recommendation from the committee, and instead seek advice from the committee, your committee, on the type of play equipment to be installed on the site, say of the old basketball courts, that is development of the site in accordance with the original project. So it seems that you're not keen on the garden. Well, I think if that went to your committee and you put the red pen through the garden, you might be able to...
The wording probably just scares me a bit there because it says on the old basketball site, like to the side of the basketball court, like in the master plan, those basketball courts were highlighted for parking because there's not enough parking when there's carnivals and things like that down there. You know, and 18 months ago, I wanted play equipment at this, you know, I was... I think that was the Stronger Communities Fund wanted some, you know, play equipment there, but they just need, and it just can't be the concept that was put forward by a council member to fit in. So, yeah, I'm happy to go back and...
You know, I think your community consultation would be taken care of if your committee was involved doing it. It says here somewhere in the report that council is not in favour of a car park for that. So I went and had a bit of a walk around it there the other day and you wouldn't get that many cars in there. I know it's a terrible place for parking when there is a lot on, but if your committee was involved in working out what that money might be spent on, that we could take that as community consultation, couldn't we? That would keep it on track to keep that money being used down in that area, if at all.
Well, you've already highlighted seating, electronic scoreboard, so it could be numerous things that fit within the existing plan that you've developed to this point. And
yeah, totally. I just would hate to see it go away from that sport.
Oh, no, fair enough. But we also don't want it to go into something that no one wants in that particular place.
That's exactly right.
Councillor Lewis.
Mr. Mayor, something that no one's looked at. First comment I got was when we were talking about building those new basketball courts, I asked in the prior council what was going to happen to the old basketball courts, and the GM at the time told me that they'd be retained so we could hold larger events and attract bigger towns to Coonabarabran. But in saying that, the other argument for them being replaced was that they were deformed and not built on solid footings and so on and so forth. Now you're talking about turning into a car park. You don't have a bunch of whatever to deal with there. I think your $127,000 will disappear in the morning mist, making the pavement strong enough on those basketball courts designed for kids to run around on to park cars there. And there's a good destination for your money, and I doubt that you'll have enough there to do it.
A sinkhole opened up not long ago on one of those basketball courts.
It was not
courts.
Recommended here.
Discussion?
I'd leave the recommendation the way it is and see how you go.
Can we have an amendment to this motion?
Yes, you can have an amendment if you'd like.
We can go back to the Sporting Advisory Committee.
To
reprioritise.
For that item, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's point five.
That's just, yeah. And that's.
That's already there.
Not that it's explicit on the type of play equipment, not the best use of the funds. If they choose not to put in play equipment, then we're back here.
You know, there was talk about maybe having a barbecue down there, but it wasn't in this grant, and like things like that could really benefit that area.
I'd like to make an amendment.
Yeah, make an amendment.
First of all, Mr. Mayor, could I suggest that Councillors Brady and Shinton withdraw their motion rather than amending your own motion? Let's withdraw that motion if they're agreeable to that.
No problem.
Yeah, okay. Do you mind if I
do a bit of wordsmithing for you, Councillor?
Yes, that'll be good.
Okay. Can we agree on point one there, that Council accept the minutes?
Yes.
Agree on point two, that Council accept the concept design for amenities upgrade at the Oval project, funding application and so on?
Yeah, we've got it agreeable.
Yes.
Yeah. Can we agree on point three about the terms of reference for the committee, that we add the junior rugby union football club in on the membership? We'll work on modifying point four, that council go back and consult with the committee.
Yep.
on how to spend the $127,000. Now, councillors, I do have to say,
they might say no.
Well, it's not so much that they say no. I'm just really concerned about the time frame of this. 31st of March next year is when we're expected to complete these projects by. This is only one of quite a number of projects that we have in this particular funding application, plus a whole heap of other projects that we've got running and about to have run, because, as I said, I'm expecting in the next couple of weeks to be advised of some successful funding for some other projects, which is going to be very significant. So this going back and rejigging projects does take time. But at this stage, what you're suggesting is that we go back and consult with the Sports Advisory Committee on how to spend $127,000 on this particular program.
Yeah.
If acceptable to council, could we authorise myself to submit an application based upon that consultation to speed up the process? And probably I'd need advice from you on this one, but point five, is that still applicable or would that be wiped?
Mr. Mayor? Mr. Mayor, through you, Mr. Mayor, to the GM, I just thought if we, or you, deleted the term play equipment.
Equipment.
Mm-hmm. It's done.
Okay, yep.
And then similarly in point four, I thought if that was amended to say funding of $127,000 received under the Drought Communities Fund Round 2 is used to install play equipment and other improvements on the or sporting complex.
Or install improvements. Covers all...
Improvements on the sporting complex.
Except that doesn't pick up on Councillor Brady's point of consulting with the committee.
Oh, yes. Well, that's picked up in point five.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so in point five, we just delete play equipment and just call it equipment. So then you've got scoreboards, barbecues, swings. You've got everything. And then in four, if we just... change old basketball courts for the sporting complex, it's sorted.
Point six, authorise general manager to make submission based upon.
Of course, yep.
Ends on this item.
So just around a committee of council, can I call would you rather it was meet sooner than our next? Now, it's really Fred's committee. Fred was just away last...
Councillor Clancy has actually just resigned from that committee.
Oh, righty.
So I think it's going to be yours now.
Right now. That's nice.
So call an emergency meeting or extraordinary meeting or whatever you...
Are you fine with that, Mr. Tai? Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. I'm fine with call an extraordinary committee.
It wouldn't be an extraordinary meeting, just a meeting of the committee.
Sorry, a meeting as soon as possible.
Yeah.
To discuss options, really, for the $127,000, and still trying to stay within the theme, general theme of improvements to the Oval complex.
So, Mr. Mayor, is Councillor Brady now moving that as just discussed?
Yes, please.
Seconder. Councillor Cable. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 7, minutes of the Traffic Advisory Committee meeting, 25th of June. Can I move it, Councillor Shitton?
Second.
Any discussion on this item?
Yes.
Councillor Cable.
I'm just surprised you need to send somebody down to watch the pick up and drop off in Cooler for the bus zone. I think that's a bit of a waste of somebody's time. To me, it's a no-brainer. And the other one, I don't understand why we can't just whack the sign up for Goolay Hall. I just think traffic and Transport New South Wales, they just seem to have a bit too much power on some common sense things. And the Cobra Speed Zone review, can somebody from that committee write to the complainant and explain why they can't have their reduced speed? Because this one keeps being brought up at the Dunedoo community meeting and in letters, and until someone gives them a decent explanation why Transport New South Wales won't agree, it will keep coming back.
Councillor Doolan.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Councillor Shinton or Councillor Lewis. On that very point, if there's not to be a... there was also a request for a school bus ahead sign. Was that met with favourable view by...
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. But a 40-kilometre zone does not fit into that area at all, yeah. And there are no signs indicating halls on state highways. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
But the common sense version, of course, is to step off that zone and put it on our road. And they agreed straight away to that. But that's not what was asked for. It was asked for on the edge of the highway. But when I suggested going into the road with that sign, that's fine. You know, but not on the highway. That's the way it is.
Stupid.
But the things that Councillor Hill brought up about the signs not being changed, they've been changed now. The Cobra Road signs that you... Yeah.
Oh, that's further on.
Yeah, but that's been done.
They've been done. They were like that after the road was attended to and the direction off to Wellington, and the sign for Wellington had Saxa Road, but either side it had Cobra Road, and they were all new. Bad. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, on that speed limit one at Cobra... Councillor Clancy would agree with me on this one. It's up to the school bus driver to pull up where he thinks is safe, and if he doesn't think it's safe, he will not. And if he wants to pull up on a major highway with a speed limit of 100 kilometres an hour, and when there's a perfectly good turning area there on the turn off into Cobra where the children can embark and disembark quite safely, it's just another one of them common sense ones where the rules and regulations don't have common sense. He pulls up out on the highway.
Doesn't
he shouldn't be doing the job. That's my opinion.
I don't think he pulls up out on the highway. I think he turns off on the little area there, and that because there's a cleared area there and there's quite a bit of rubbish being dumped there.
What the hard part is, being past, did Peter's job before Peter did on the traffic committee, if you put a 40 kilometre an hour speed limit sign there, that's 24/7. It's just as easy for the bus to get off the highway and the children embark and disembark and then enter back onto it. It solves the problem really quickly and really safely. So I can't imagine someone slowing down to 40k an hour at 3 a.m. in the morning.
No, I don't think at all. More questions on these items?
In a way, right.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 8, Minutes of the Economic Development Advisory Committee. Councillor Capel, mover. Councillor Brady, a seconder. Comments on this item, these items? No comments, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Fred, carried unanimously. Item 9, Determination of Local Government Remuneration Tribunal 2020. Remover. Councillor Brady, Councillor Hill. Comments on this item?
I'd be moving that councillors take the maximum and that the mayor's allowance is the maximum as well, as is indicated.
Can that be incorporated into the first motion, Mr. Mayor?
Councillor Dobson.
I move by Councillors Brady and Hill.
I'll move, put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 10, Office of Local Government, S4330 report. Mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Shenton. Any comments on this item?
I'd like to ask a question. Did you have your meeting? Is she a happy lady or? What? Is she happy?
Oh, reasonable. Councillor Lutzi, we want to hear a second.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We had a teleconference. Dennis and I had a teleconference with the Minister Monday, 1 o'clock. It lasted for about 20 minutes. Her principal advisor was with her as well. We put it to her that we weren't happy with the final conclusions of the report. We expressed our dissatisfaction that many of the councillor's submissions were disregarded or misquoted, and we expressed our dissatisfaction with the fact that some of the proposals or ideas that they put forward in the report were baseless and seemed to be purely things that were invented by the investigators. Of course, we also mentioned that it remains a mystery as to the complaint itself and the complainant, him or herself, or, you know, may even be something different from that. She did sympathise with us and said she would look into the possibilities of how we could be better informed about the nature of the complaint and who made it and the content of the complaint. We felt that we lacked procedural fairness by being denied access to the complaint and made it hard for us to make a proper submission because we couldn't see that information. In terms of moving forward, we have to comply. As we know, there was no change to that recommendation. So we'll keep submitting the reports as per her instructions. I didn't get the feeling at all that she was going to take any further action against us. She took on board that the previous management was very different from the current management and that council is certainly working a lot better now.
My only issues overall are the issues around water with Dunedoo, the flawed licence advertising, we're not informed. We were honest, put up our hand that we had a drought situation. We were just the first of a long pack and we weren't as bad off as many of the others. And I agree with exactly what you spoke to her about. I think there were flaws the whole way through, and thank you for bringing it up directly with the Minister.
Virtually knowledge of the water had improved.
If I may, once again, it was made very clear to her that we felt that we were treated unfairly also because many of the things that we were criticised about were in fact things that other councils are doing worse than us. So we felt that the way that we were treated was disproportionate.
Question, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Seven council resolutions. Councillor Capel. Question this item.
Sorry. Firstly, Resolution 22/1920, the alcohol-free zones and the outdoor area. I think this is going to become important towards the back end of COVID because outdoor seating would actually be preferred. I'm sure with the spread of COVID, as long as people are sitting where they're told to, and it would allow our smaller premises the ability to have those few extra patrons and what they can have just by having them inside because there's not enough space for the legal requirements under the COVID directions. So just if the assessment of those zones could just factor in that. I've got another one, the Resolution 56/1920, road service level targets. It states there's to be advertising. Can it be in simple English? Things like where you can find your road category on the within council's maps and what your category means in terms of number of expected grades and also with the advertising how to report damage to the roads. A lot of residents don't know. 56/1920. Okay. My next one is 122/1920. The Mandoran Water Supply, DPIE, and Council with the IWCM strategy. It's held up due to a difference of opinion. Has this been resolved? And will it affect the DPIE/SSWP funding? If it's holding it up and we need to have that strategy in place to secure the funding,
I'll have to take some advice on that. We have had some recent discussions with DPIE and we're going to take up their offer of some funding to complete the IWCM, but that is going to delay the completion of the IWCM. I need to ask some questions specifically about that project. But could I get you to email that to me so I can pass on to the relevant staff member?
Yep. I was just wondering if it's been resolved, the difference of opinion we apparently are having.
I can't say we've resolved our differences of opinion. We're just going to go along with what DPIE want, and that is they want certain things included in the IWCM which weren't included in the original proposal, and they have agreed to fund that. The advice, we have differences in advice as to how long that's going to take. DPIE reckon it's only going to take a relatively short period of time. Our consultants believe it's going to be a significant period of time.
Okay. Then there's 133/1920, which is to do with the dam, the Timor Dam raising of the wall. I think we need to keep pushing this. If the relevant minister and deputy premier won't come, maybe we should start taking on the federal member and the local member. See if they will come and discuss it with us because that the extra cost of the fish ladder is substantial. They're looking for projects to build at the moment. They're all sprucing about water security. Here's one, but no one's willing to come and chat with us.
I have been, within the last week, I have been discussing this particular issue with the local member's office, Roy Butler's office, and taken some advice on them on how to handle this. And a follow-up letter is going to be submitted to Minister Pavey, which this was supposed to be referred to by the Deputy Premier.
Okay. My last one you'll be pleased to hear is 285/1920, the Coonagh groundwater pipe funding deed was not accepted. Additional risk management plan was required, even though you'd received the deed to sign.
I'll have to take some advice on that one, Councillor.
Motion, those in favour. Councillor Brady. Carried unanimously. Item 13.
12.
Three votes. Report. Those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13, draft investment policy. Councillor Cable, seconder Councillor Nuzzi. In discussion this item, Councillor Cable.
Just a point. Councillor Doolan brought to our attention in the past about investments in non-based Australian banks. Nowhere in that policy I saw anything around that. Remember when you brought up about a particular bank we had money in and was concerned? Well, there's nothing in this policy to back that I noticed. It could have been there. I might have just missed it reading it, but...
Well, that, through you, Mr. Mayor, that was a very particular bank in a very particular part of the world, but your point...
It could happen again.
Mm. Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Director Parker, probably. Were there any significant changes? I was looking for some yellow highlighter just to see if there's anything that was a big difference from what we had previously. And so maybe if you could talk to any significant changes that we should be aware of before we vote on it.
Mayor, the only change that we had noted on this policy was that if a current investment rating was downgraded whilst we had an investment in place, that we would be able to leave it where it was until it became due, and then we would move to ensure that we were compliant with the split of the allowed investments as per the policy.
That sounds reasonable. Did you want to, Director Parker, while we've got you there, did you want to comment on Councillor Capel's idea about the... we just had some bit of background that you might be aware of. A couple of years ago, we had considerable amount of money. We, as in the Shire Council, WSC, had $3 million, I think, off the top of my head, in an institution with head office was in Lebanon. And while it sort of had government guarantees, that was the government of Lebanon that was providing the guarantee, and they weren't, one of the things that didn't trigger the guarantee was freezing access to our capital didn't trigger the guarantee, and freezing our interest payments didn't trigger the guarantee. So as a group, the council, as we decided that was less than favourable way or place for us to deposit our funds, and we moved them somewhere else. And yes, and I think that's what Councillor Caper was at there. Is there something that you think could be added to our policy that would stop such a thing?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's a good question. We do follow the requirements of the guidelines, but I don't remember specifically seeing a requirement for what you were suggesting about the location of head offices in, I think you said head offices in Australia. If council needed that to be included, we would probably need to put this policy on hold while we investigated that and brought it back to the next meeting with a proposed change in regard to that.
Well, what do you think of that? Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Capel, is that a Director Parker suggestion to workshop something and bring it back to next meeting, or is that there are other?
Well, it was only your diligence last time because it had a name that made it look as though it was not based where it was.
It sounded like a fine old institution, didn't it? But
yeah.
Its previous iteration was should have frightened the horses, I would have thought.
What do we do with it, Councillor?
Well, if it's not piling more work on Director Parker, if he could turn his mind to it and give us his thoughts sometime in the future. It doesn't have to be the next meeting, but...
You want to make an amendment, we put it out, peg and hand it over to the next meeting?
Oh, yep. So that would... I'm happy with that. Especially as we seem to be heading into an uncertain period ahead.
Have an amendment to move it over to the next meeting.
Who's our mover and...
Me. I'm happy.
Mover and second are happy. Yep. Need a motion on that?
That is.
Motion, we'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 14. Investment term deposit ending the month of the 30th of June. Councillor Dutsey, second to Councillor Hill. Any comment on this item? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimous.
To read.
Item 15, update report of Fixing Country Road Funding Program. Can I move her? Gable. Seconder, Councillor Nucci. Any comment on this item?
Mr. Mayor. I just asked that Lawns Creek project just on the start of Warrumbungles Way out at the 4 mile, why we need a bridge there when I've never seen water there any more than 2 or 3 feet deep. We do a box culvert on that and do another project somewhere else, or probably another two projects somewhere else for what it cost us for a bridge. I've only been travelling that road for about 67 years. Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Ty, did you catch that?
Mr. Mayor, I think I did. So, while it says bridge there, if council is happy with the current situation at Causeway, that's fine, but I understand that Council Lewis might be talking about replacing Causeway with a culvert structure, which I think it would still be called a bridge if it becomes sort of a culvert structure that is greater than 6 metres in length. Yes, it is a relatively small catchment area above that. It just depends on the intention of council in relation to the causeway. In my experience, it doesn't, when water flows across here, it doesn't last very long, and the disruption to traffic isn't not a long time. Keep in mind that too, with the Fixing Country Roads program, a benefit cost ratio for a project needs to be greater than one for it to be eligible for funding. I do have some concerns about getting such a benefit cost ratio for this project.
What's the cost between box culverts and bridges, Kevin? They're not that much, is there?
Through Mr. Mayor, yeah, look, we tend to, when we're looking at rough estimates for bridges and culverts, we tend to look at the square metre rate. Generally, these days, it's cheaper to build a bridge than it is to put box culverts in.
I'd also like to point out elsewhere in the business paper your report on the inland rail and the section of it already built and the large number of box culverts along that line, and the axle rating for those box culverts is 21 tonne per axle. I think it'll be a long time before we see 21 tonne per axle on an asphalt road, and if they can do it with box culverts on the inland road, why can't we do it on our roads and save ourselves a lot of money and improve a lot of country roads? Like, we've got Dandry Road out there screaming for a culvert or a box culvert where the road's all washed away. We've got to look at ways of spending our money wiser and making it go further, and this is a classic example of it.
Well, I tend to agree with Councillor Lewis there. It's that's our access to town, and my wife was stopped there earlier in the years with the floods, and you're not there that long. It's under an hour, I think you told me. But through you, Mr. Mayor, to Director Ty, so you're basically, this has just come up here because we're fulfilling the obligations of a previous motion of council. If you're, it's in your professional opinion, you would think you would struggle to get funding for this project, and if that's the case, that'd be a better use of your time or your staff's time filling in an application that's not going to go anywhere. We could just delete recommendation one. Would you think that would be? And I know in the.
Yes, I do. If one of the, if you think about Billy King's Creek Bridge, Mr. Mayor, we were able to get a benefit-cost ratio on that project greater than one, because we could say that on average traffic was delayed. I think it was about 3 days. It might have been 5 days per year on average, because because of the bit of King's Creek, the water over the road. And so when you look at the cost of a detour, that added to increase the benefit if we could put a bridge. I hope that makes sense. But I don't know that we can say the same for this creek at Loughlin's Creek, that we'd have, on average, 3 days per year disruption to traffic. The detour is still significant, particularly over the Cuss Road if we go Maryville Road, but even so, I don't know that we could, on the base of it, get a benefit cost ratio greater than one for this particular project. Putting a free crossing in there, if you like.
That road 50% funded by the government, ain't it, if we put it in, Kevin?
These Pixie Country roads. No. Certainly contributions make a project more meritorious, I think, in the eyes of those who are doing assessment. It's 50-50, so I'm thinking about Billy King's Creek Bridge. It's not 50-50. Council has made a contribution, but it's more in the line of 10% contribution to Billy King's Creek Bridge.
Bridge at that creek, Kevin, that'll make that road been away 100% free of flooding or not?
Bridge at Loughlin's Creek, yes. So all down to Binaway, of course, then there's the other side of Binaway. I've actually made a submission, funding submission for Binaway Creek. We haven't heard back on that yet, but between Binaway and the new highway, Loughlin's Creek is the only other causeway that at times is flooded.
So if you got both Loughlin's Creek and the other side of Binaway before the railway bridge, that would make it a flood-free road through to Coonabarabin, and that would help when there's diversions up at Cox's Creek, the other side of Tambar Springs, which often cuts Black Stump Way at that northern point. So then you've got a way to get north if you make Warrumbungle's Way virtually flood-proof.
I'm not sure I follow you there, Councillor.
When you go north, it's not in our shire, it's Gunnedah Shire, you often get cut off on Black Stump Way to Gunnedah when there's flooding, and you also get cut Warrumbungle's Way as well, so you get to Cooler and then you've got to backtrack and hopefully you can get around through Mandoran to Coonabarabin to continue going north.
I'm in favour of this project anyhow. Anybody else got any comments?
You can flood proof it. Long term, that's got to be an advantage.
Of course.
Comments, or I'll put the motion. I'll put the motion up. Carried unanimously. Update report of RFS shed at Coonabarabin Aerodrome. Mover, Councillor Shenton. Councillor Hill. Any comments on this item?
I've got a question. Why does it have to become operational for a DA to be lodged? Because surely our ovals are community and DAs can be lodged for things there.
Mr. Tai?
I'm on shaky ground here, Mr. Mayor, but it depends on what's being built at the ovals. I don't believe a DA is required under some of the steps. I'm probably not in the best position to answer that question, but until the community land classification is removed, particularly from the aerodrome land, we're not able to lodge a DA. That's my advice.
But we build stuff on ovals and they're the same classification. So why is it different for this?
Because community land, construction of certain assets on ovals implies with the plan of management for those ovals.
And the aerodrome doesn't have a plan of management?
It possibly does have a plan of management. I'd have to check, but it's for community land. It doesn't cover operational, and that's so in a sense, the hangars up there, that they're not, they don't comply with the plan of management for community land at this stage.
Two resolutions there. We follow any of them or not?
But, it's both. Yeah?
I'll put the motion. Carry. I've got comments on this one too. That we should go and select the place they put it, because they want to knock a tree down. There's only tree within the good shade tree within the area. There's miles of area there.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I didn't catch your comments there. I couldn't hear the comments.
We should go and reselect the area where we're going to put it, in my opinion, because there's a good shade tree there and we're going to knock it down. Last time we had a look at it, there's miles of ground there. There's not going to be a shortage of ground.
Yeah, okay, I take those comments on board. I think we'll be having we'll take it back to the aerodrome committee, Mr. Mayor.
The next meeting we can have an inspection of it to find detail where we're going to put it exactly.
Yes.
Naming of laneway and binaway. Hoover. Councillor Nucci. Councillor Hill. Any comment on this?
Mr. Mayor, I initially moved the name of Myers Lane. The reason was to honour the late Charlie Myers. It wasn't to honour the business, as said in the attachments on here. The Naseby's already have recognition in Binaway on signage as Naseby's Way out near the golf club. I'd like to point out there's a Lewis Street in Mudgee, a Lewisham in the city, and a Lewis Road in Dunny Doo, and I'm still alive. I don't think they're named after me, though. Renshaw's were still alive when Renshaw Street was named.
There's no other Myers Lane that I know of in Binaway or Myers Street, so I don't think it would create any confusion. But just to fight back, I'll move an amendment to change the name of the lane to Charlie's Lane in honour of Charlie Myers.
I've just got a comment. This is just yes, Minister, reading that report.
Lewis, you move amendment? You got a seconder? Councillor Doolan?
Charlie's Lane to be spelt with IES, not YS.
Councillor Doolan?
I'll be supporting this, but just a couple of quick comments. The yes, Minister part of it, I was a bit cranky about the whole thing when I was reading the business paper the other day, and I was perhaps a bit tongue-in-cheek suggesting that we name this the Victor Dominello Paul Toole Dead End, and we slip that into the geographic names board and see how we go. But I won't do that. I did a bit of research. I rang a friend and he did the research for me about Naseby Lane, and just for your info, I'll be supporting Councillor Lewis's Charlie's Lane. I think that's a good idea. But this Mr. Naseby was Frederick Naseby, who owned the property Clearfield at Binaway, and he donated the land that the Binaway Showground now sits upon. And he also was instrumental in getting the first bank branch opened in Binaway, which is the First Commonwealth Bank of Australia. And it opens its doors on the 24th of June 1914. And Mr. Naseby was the eighth customer when he opened his account on the 10th of July 1914, 3 weeks later. So they weren't actually knocked off their feet with business down there. But I thought he was a worthy recipient of some recognition, but I'll be supporting Councillor Lewis's amendment because of the fine sentiment that is behind it.
Comments on this item?
Is it only a recommendation? Can we just ignore it? What the government agency came back with?
My understanding, Councillor, is we're obligated to follow what their requirements are.
We've got to advertise it and then they can put in Charlie's name if they want to, can they, to General Manager?
Mr. Mayor, I think in this regard we would, before we advertised, I think we would just get a verbal approval from the GMB that Charlie's Lane meets with their requirements, and then we would advertise that in accordance with the Roads Act, or Roads Regulation, which, as you say, we need to advertise and notify relevant agencies of the proposal. If there's no objections, then the road would be gazetted as Charlie's Lane. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, one I did forget to mention, I'd quoted some work for Peter Considine down in Mudgee the other day. He's building the big new estate to the southeast, more or less, of Mudgee. One of the main roads in it's Considine Drive. How come they can do that in the Mudgee Shire when the bloke's still alive and we can't do something similar in our shire?
Amendment.
So yes, Minister, this one.
Okay. I'll put the amendment. Those in favour? Councillor Lindsay. One, two, three. Councillor Nutsi and voting not against it. Everybody else in favour. That right? Motion carried.
I'll record that Councillor Nutsi against, Mr. Mayor.
Item 18, campsite for showing sewage connection.
Super.
That's in this item. Inland Rail's having a meeting next Thursday about a campsite in Barradine, and I think we should leave this over till we talk to them. That's my opinion.
Just leave it on the table then.
We'll leave it on the table the next meeting.
I'll second that.
I'll put the motion that carried.
Yes, when does that application have to be in by, though?
Dr. Arnold is the Commissioner General Manager.
Sorry, which application?
BBRF funding.
Oh, that's been gone and
all
rejected.
Right. Rejected, okay.
Item 19, amendment, the companion animals, fees and charges. Mover, Councillor Lewis, Councillor Brady. Any comments, Councillor Lewis?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I agree with the charges, that's fair enough. I also applaud Council on getting our compliance officer trained up to do the microchipping of the animals. But one thing that had become apparent to me the other day was the cost of getting pups vaccinated for parvo, and the parvo's rampant in our shire. $60 a pup, and the average person in the backyard with a litter of six or eight pups, they don't get vaccinated, and they get it and they spread it, and the injection, without being too technical, is only an under-skin injection. The average cow cocky does 300 or 400 lambs in a morning, given pulpy kidney vaccine and so on and so forth. Why can't our compliance officer be trained up to do a similar task?
No, vets don't miss you.
Mr. Stratton, do you have any comments there?
I think it's actually a good comment and something that needs to be looked into and investigated, and obviously come back to the members, and it could work like the microchipping. So I think it's definitely worth looking into.
The motion, those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 20, Inland Rail Report. Mover, Councillor Nucci, Councillor Cable. Any comment on this item? The recommendation, those in favour? Yeah. Carried unanimously. Item 21, Small Heritage Grant Program. Councillor Cable, second of Councillor Nucci. Any comment on this, Councillor Cable?
In the application process, are the applicants asked if they will proceed if they don't get the funding they're asking for? Because the requests are usually far higher than what they receive, and if they opt not to proceed, then that money isn't expended. It can't be put to somebody else. So I just think there needs to be a little bit of vetting of the applicant at the beginning, because you could have five projects and no one proceed and then no work's done historically.
Mr. Stratton, do you have a comment on that?
Going through the list, what we try to do is we look at the merit of the projects and keeping in the theme of the older type buildings and keeping them as they are. So We do look at that. We do look at, see if there's a reasonable contribution from the applicant when assessing the amount given, and obviously need to look at whether some of the things are actually needed. So we actually look at all of that and then make a decision and obviously allocate some funds.
I understand that, but if they're asking for $10,000 and receive $1,000 and then go, well, I'm not doing the project, that $1,000 disappears totally. I'm just asking, is there a vetting at the front? Okay, you're asking for this amount, but if you only get this amount, will you still proceed? Because if you're not going to, well, then maybe don't apply if we don't have enough funds. We've got such a small pocket of money, and if they're asking for, well, actually for more money than what we can actually even have as part of the grant.
Yeah, look, I'll have to take that question on notice, but this year we had an extraordinary amount of applicants, which is really good to see, and we do need to actually look at our forms. You've got a point, look at how we actually get people to apply, and obviously look at the means of how they want to fund it, whether it's mostly through our grant or if they're just looking for some assistance. So, yes, I'll take that on board.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if I could help you out a little bit in that one. I did one of these jobs for the Royal Hotel in Binaway. I replaced a roof section for the quoted amount, which I gave them a quote for, and so did a couple other people. There had to be photographs taken of the work and copy of the invoice sent into council before they got the funds. The work had to be done before the funds were allocated. Does that help you at all?
No. I'm saying if they're asking for, say, $10,000...
Yep.
They receive $2,000 for a project worth $40,000. They go, well, I'm not going to proceed with the project. That $2,000 then can't go back into the bucket anywhere else. It just doesn't happen anyway.
In the case of the Royal Hotel of Binaway, they did not receive the funds till the works were done, documented, photographed.
I'm saying if they choose not to proceed with the works at all, that money that was in the funding bucket never gets utilised.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying yeah, Councillor, and I'll follow it up.
Okay.
I do know that there's a lot more on the list than what they got in here too.
I'll put the motion. Yeah. Item 22, development application. Councillor Brady, Councillor Hill. Comments on this item? Motion, those in favour, carried unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, that brings us to item 23, which are reports to be considered in closed council. Item 23.1, which is the organisational development monthly report, with a recommendation there for it to go into closed council under the 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Brady. I put the motion, those in favour. Carried.
Item number 23.2, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. There's a recommendation for it to go into closed council under 10A2G of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously.
Item 23.3, which is Merrill Minnett, Annual Performance Review General Manager, for it to go into closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Shinton. Motion, those in favour. Councillor Hill, you carry.
Mr. Mayor, are you having a break? We're going straight
through. Do you want a break or you want to carry through? Carry through.
In that case, councillors, there's a recommendation there to go into closed council. Exclude public, etc.
Councillor Cable. Second. Bill. Those in favour? Carried. No, he didn't move.
Right, just to announce the decisions of closed council in relation to item 23.1, Organisational Development Monthly Report. The resolution of council was that the Organisational Development Monthly Report be noted for information. Item number 23.2, the resolution of council was one, that council endorsed the actions outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, including the signing of the funding variation with the federal government. Two, does not enter into the civil and services, council does not tender the civil and services infrastructure works component for the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project due to extenuating circumstances as per section 55.3 Roman numeral 1 of the Local Government Act due to the time limitations of the funding agreement timeframes. Three, a council delegates authority to the general manager to seek quotes from selected contractors and appoint suitably qualified contractors to undertake civil and services infrastructure works components for the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project. And in relation to 23.3, the resolution of council was that the information be noted. Council delegate all tasks necessary for the completion of the performance review to the performance review panel. And three, all councillors be provided with an opportunity for input and feedback, and that the mayor be delegated authority to finalise arrangements for the review panel to convene.
Good job done.
Yep.
Okay.
No further business. I declare the meeting closed at 7.
Thank you, councillors.
Thank you.
Thank you.